Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith that you gave to us. Father, we thank you that you not only gave us the gift of faith, but you grow this faith within us. We thank you, Father, because through your gift of faith, by your grace, by your mercy, we have freedom. We have freedom eternally. Father, we thank you for this gift of freedom. We pray that you would guide us, that you would shape our hearts and our minds, that we would desire to use this freedom, not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but that we would desire, Father, for the fruits of the Spirit, for those to be more and more abundant in our lives. Father, we pray that we would see how your Son used his freedom for our good well-being. Father, we pray that you would not only give us that desire, but that you would use us to encourage one another in this endeavor. So that, Father, that many would come to know your Son as their Lord and as their Savior. That they would also be blessed with the freedom that he has purchased for them. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, Amen. Amen. So it's 4th of July week, and I think it's always appropriate on a Sunday like this to just to take a minute and to recognize those who have served our nation, because part of freedom, obviously, is the earthly freedom that we get to enjoy. And we have a lot of earthly freedom in this country. We really do. And so I just want to take a minute and recognize those who have worn the uniform of this country, or if you have a loved one who has worn the uniform of this country, could you please raise your hand so we can see you? Holy cow, look at that. Look around, look at that. That is amazing. Let's give God a praise clap for that. Amen. Amen. It's 4th of July week. Freedom is a big thing in a week like this. And so obviously, you know, we think of earthly freedom, and earthly freedom is tremendous. It's a real blessing. But today what we really want to focus on is the eternal freedom, the spiritual freedom that's been won for us in and through Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for us, because when we think of the word freedom, we have to recognize something. We have to understand something from the very beginning, and that is that you and I are corrupted, that you and I are sinners. Yes, we are saints, but we are also sinners, and we can never lose sight of that fact. Because the reason I say that is this: you and I live in a culture that says freedom's awesome. Use that freedom for whatever you want to use it for. That's what it is. You get to choose. You get to decide what your priority is, how you're going to behave, what you're going to choose to do with your time and your resources. And brothers and sisters, listen to me. And I love you as your pastor. I do. But here's the thing we've got to understand. You and I are corrupted in our nature. Luther explained it like this. Luther said it like this. He said, imagine that you are a horse. Don't anybody make any whinnying noises right now. Imagine that you are a horse, and on your back you have two riders. One is Satan, and one is your Savior. And each of them are wrestling for control of the reins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we, left to our own devices, will always choose the wrong thing. Left to our own devices, left to our own impulses, we will always choose the wrong thing. The only time we ever get it right is when the Holy Spirit has got control of us. That's when his fruits become evident in our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, when we talk about it was for freedom that Christ set us free, let's understand something. It's God's definition of freedom, not ours. It's God's definition of freedom. And it was for freedom that who set us free? Is it for freedom that David set us free? No. Is it for freedom that Sarah set us free? No. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And that's important for us to remember, because out of everybody who's ever walked on the face of this earth, there's only been but one person who truly had freedom. His name starts with a J. He's the hero of the story. Everybody say his name together. Jesus. That's exactly right. Only Jesus had true and complete freedom. And this is instructive. What did he use that freedom for? He gave up that freedom to come to this earth that he who had no sin would become sin for us. He would submit himself willingly to be punished, to be crucified, to be buried, so that he could rise from the dead 3 days later and ascend back to heaven 40 days later, that we would have complete confidence in our eternal salvation. Jesus, listen to me, Jesus used his freedom so that you would have eternal freedom. And if then this is how Jesus used his freedom, isn't that even more so how we should use the freedom that we have been given? Amen? I want you to just consider for a moment here, and then I'm going to invite our Spanish ministry leaders to come up, and we're going to hear an update from them. I've asked them to answer some prepared questions. And they're going to give an update as to what's going on with our Spanish ministry, how we can pray and participate in it. But before we get to that, I want to ask you to consider for just a minute the difference between the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading. Did you notice when you heard the Old Testament reading that Elijah says to God, these people, they have torn down the altar. They have forsaken your word, and they have killed the prophets. So things were not going good, right? And then Elijah calls Elisha to come with him, to become a prophet. And that's when Elijah takes his cloak, which would be like this this right here, and he lays it over Elisha's head. And what is Elisha's response? Elisha says, oh, Elijah, please, let me go back to be with my family. I need to say goodbye to them. I'd like to slaughter the cow, feed the family, and take care of that before I join you in ministry. And what does Elijah say? Remember, we just heard it. Elijah said, what have I done to you? Go, please, go and do that. And so Elisha went and did that. Elijah had no problem with it. And it's not because things were going great in the country of Israel at that time. And then you fast forward to the New Testament reading, and the New Testament reading makes a point of laying out example after example, and there's probably more that aren't even recorded, right? Of people who said, oh, Jesus, I will follow you, but first, I have to go and do this. Oh, Jesus, I will go with you wherever you would go, but first, I need to go and do that. And what was Jesus' response? It was not Elijah's response. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Huh. Why? Why the difference between Elijah's response and Jesus' response? Because they're clearly different. Why the difference? Here's why. Because Jesus has come and Jesus has fulfilled the law, brothers and sisters. And because Jesus has fulfilled the law, listen to me closely now, at any moment, Jesus can return from heaven. We need to keep that in mind. Tomorrow's not promised to us. At any moment, Jesus can return from heaven. Listen to me. And when he does, there's going to be a judgment. And so, while in the time of Elijah, that had not yet happened, in the time of Christ, and since Christ, that has been fulfilled. And so, what we now have to have, brothers and sisters in Christ, is a sense of urgency. We have to have a sense of urgency because Jesus has fulfilled all that needed to be fulfilled. And now, all that we're awaiting is his return. And so, this is the day that the Lord has made, that we're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it, and we're going to exercise the freedom he's given us to help others to come into that freedom as well. Amen? Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? When I was considering the call to come to Faith Lutheran Church, one of the things that I did was I went to the church's website. And when I went to the church's website, one of the things that I found was the mission statement of this church. We know what that is, right? I try to repeat it on a regular basis. We're going to glorify God by doing what? By spreading the gospel. And it goes on from there. And as I looked at that mission statement, I said, this is a great church. It has a great mission statement. Because it is saying up front, what matters to this church is that we're going to glorify God. We're going to give all the glory, the praise, the honor to God. And we're going to glorify him by doing what? By spreading the gospel, by sharing the gospel with other people. And you had my heart at that point. And then I went on and read the rest of it. How are we going to do this? You want it done through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. And you had me from the word go. And it's because of the mission statement of this church, the desire to glorify God by spreading the gospel, that we have gone through the doors that God has prepared, that we have done the good works that God has prepared. And it's because of God, and it's to God be the glory, that we have this Hispanic ministry that's going on. So I want to invite our Spanish ministry leaders to come on up for the fourth time this weekend. If you guys would come on up. And we've got those questions. And if you want to just stand up here how we did in the first three services, that would be wonderful. And so we have, first of all, Ada, come on over. First of all, we have Ada Bray with us. Ada is standing to my right. And Ada is our Hispanic evangelist. We've just brought her on at the church. Church Council voted and approved funding for her. She's going to work about 15 hours a week as our Hispanic evangelist. And at the end of the year, the Church Council is going to analyze the data, analyze the results, and then make a decision about continuing from there. And so Ada, as our Hispanic evangelist, is going to focus really on two things. One of them is being an evangelist, which in the New Testament, men and women both were evangelists. And Ada is going to focus on bringing the gospel to our Hispanic homes. And Ada is going to keep track. We're going to keep the data of how many homes Ada visited, what are the results of that, how many people are we seeing in worship, so that our church council and our congregation can be very well informed. That's the first of Ada's two priorities. The second one is to lead our English as a second language class that we're going to be offering here. And Ada was a teacher herself for 10 years in Honduras. And one of the things she taught there was English. And so can we give God a praise clap for Ada? And Ada, I'm going to give you the microphone here. And Ada, if you could, please tell us about English as a second language, the class.
We are planning to start this program in July 15, and this is a blessing from God for our community, because like in Spanish population, they never worry about learn English. They come here to work most of the time, but now they at least the people are coming to our church. We have like 26 members already, and God is doing big things for us. And I'm so excited to go with this program. It's most bringing those people don't have a time to go to school in the week. They will come on Saturdays at 5 o'clock. The class will be serving in here, and if there's any volunteer want to help us, welcome. And we really are seeing a lot of things God is doing in our community.
Praise God. And Ada, how many folks do you think we have who are interested in ESL right now?
Right now I have like 20 people waiting for, and they are calling me, Ada, when we're going to start, and when you know, they're very excited about it.
And the students, they will pay for the cost of their books.
Yes, we have these books. Each student will pay like $60 for all books, I believe, and we're getting in that. So.
Amen. Can we give God a praise clap for this? And to my left, we have Cruz Guerrero. And Cruz comes to us through San Pablo Lutheran Church in Aurora, Illinois. San Pablo is a church that we have been supporting for a couple of years. And this past year, we sort of reworked that arrangement. And so part of that arrangement now is that San Pablo will give us a pre-seminary student, and he will be compensated out of the funds that out of some of the funds that we give to San Pablo. And this pre-seminary student will help us with our Hispanic ministry. And so Cruz is with us in his first year of pre-seminary training with us. And we got a great deal. We didn't only get Cruz, we got his wife Karina. And she is also a real blessing. Karina is helping with their two young daughters who are just wonderful young children. And so Cruz is going to speak for himself and Karina. So I'd like to give the mic to you, Cruz. Social media is a big part of our strategy for connecting with people. What would you like to share?
Yes, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, like you see, I write it down everything in English because I would take the classes, the ESL classes too, keeping learning. But yeah, I'm going to do this specific. And Hogar de Fe is our official Facebook page. We do our best to make it very active page, especially in preaching the word of God, and our God, or the Lord, it will be the ones to bless and get the growth of this seed. But how do we do it? We edit with information of what is happening during the faith home each week, and we post videos, photos, and whatever is happening inside in the church. And we put every time that we put these pictures, videos, we agree with a message, which is to share the love of Jesus Christ and his gospel. For this moment, we have 190 likes in the page, and I would like to invite you to rebuke the patient, give us a like and share, because God has given us this tool of technology. So let's take a preach. Let's take the advantage and take it to a preach his word. This is a bless that God is doing in this community, in this church too. Amen. Thank you.
Let's give God a praise. So every Saturday night we have a Spanish worship service here, and I preach. What language do you guess I preach in, English or Spanish? English, exactly right. And there are four translators in the congregation who translate for me, and so I am so impressed when I listen to Cruz talk in another language, because I'm nowhere near that in Spanish. Nowhere near that. So Cruz, I just praise God for you and for your willingness to be used in his ministry. Let's give God another praise clap. And Fred, would you come over? So Fred is one of our elders. He is our official elder on our board for our Spanish ministry liaison. Fred is married to Ada. And so Fred, what I would like to ask you to share about is, what have you learned about the Hispanic culture being married to a wonderful Hispanic lady?
Good morning, and God bless you. What I've learned about the Hispanic culture is they always have very large extended families, and it was said years ago that it takes an entire village to raise a child, and I see this in the Hispanic culture because everyone in the family works together to raise the children. And the other thing is in the Hispanic culture, their faith is very important to them, but my experience has been that these people are hungry for the gospel, and they come from denominations that don't preach the gospel, they preach the Old Testament. So these people are hungry to hear the gospel, and in fact, at one of our Bible studies, one of our nieces, after hearing the gospel, she said she felt relieved. Amen.
Let's give God a praise clap. And Ada, is there anything else you would like to share?
Yeah, I just want to invite everybody about our fasting and praying. We have in our schedule every week we take one day for God. It's Wednesdays. We fast 6 till 6. But this is this is whatever you want to do. This is between you and God. I believe this is why God is doing a lot of good things for our service. It's like 26 people already enjoying us, and a lot of more people are coming. And I can see the enthusiasm how they have, you know. They love Pastor Jim. They always talk about how happy he is all the time. And I say, well, because the Bible says if cannot be said, the heart praise Jesus. And this is how, you know, we are, we had this program too, fasting once a week and praying. And please pray for our service, Spanish service, can be more people. Like last night, we have like 6 people are coming next weekend.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let's give God a praise clap. So just to sort of pull it together, so fasting and praying, praying's nothing new for any of us, but fasting might be, and if so, that's okay. Fasting is something that Jesus encouraged his disciples to do. He encourages us to fast. So if you're starting out in fasting, it might be something you just do for a meal or even just for a snack, something like that. If you need to talk to your doctor, talk to your doctor first. But we are fasting on Wednesdays and want to invite everybody to join us. Then we will be together spiritually in prayer and focus in our minds and in our hearts on our Spanish ministry and the rest of our ministry as well. Last night we had about 50 people in worship here, and I just want to point this out. Almost every single one of those people were directly related to Ada, either through blood family or by marriage into the family. Ada is an awesome Hispanic evangelist. Can we give God a praise clap? Amen. Amen. You know, when Ada first started coming to our church, she was married to Fred in this church some years ago. And then by God's grace, then she came back to check out the church at her husband's invitation. And then Ada said, I want to learn more about this. And Ada became a member. And then she became a member. And then people from her previous church asked her, why are you joining a congregation that baptizes babies? And so Fred came to me and said, Pastor, Ada has a question for you. And Fred told me what the question was. And I said, please tell Ada she can ask me whatever question she wants. I hope she feels that comfortable. And so she did. She came and she asked me, said, Pastor, my friends are asking me, why am I joining a church that baptizes babies? What should I tell them? And so I said to Ada, I said, Ada, when your child was born, he got a shot. Did he know what that medicine was? And Ada kind of sat there and thought about it, and she shook her head, and she said, nope. And Ada knew where I was going with this. I said, so Ada, did your child not knowing what that medicine was, did that change the medicine? Ada said, no. Exactly right. Your child knowing or not knowing doesn't change the medicine. The medicine is the medicine. And I said to Ada, hospitals give out physical medicine. God uses the church to give out spiritual medicine. Amen? Amen. And I said, no good mom, and you're a great mom, Ada, no good mom would take their child home and wait for the doctor to come to their house and say, your child needs its medicine. A good mom will go to the hospital, knock on the front desk, and say, go get me that doctor. He needs to do his job. My child needs his medicine. And no good mom is going to make their child wait till they're 10 or 12 years old to start to receive medicine. And Ada, the light bulb, I could just see it. It just kind of went on. And then Ada went and shared this with people. And last night we had about 50 people here, and none of them really come from a background of infant baptism. And so Ada said, I really have one request for you. Teach about infant baptism to everybody who's here. And so I put together a bilingual handout. There's some in the entryway to the church. And we looked at 14 different passages last night on baptism and why we are supposed to baptize babies. And I think at the end of that, everybody got it. Yes. Can we give God a praise clap for that? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Brothers, let us use this freedom to encourage one another to share this freedom with others. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's rise. We're going to continue out the confession of our